Our state is in a real mess. We have to live within our means. We don't have the money.
Would you support yes or no Dream Act? Thank you.
Yes to the State Dream Act, because our current governor just vetoed a proposal, and I would have signed that bill.
Governor Jerry Brown has 12 days to veto the California Dream Act.
Hear ye, hear ye. I hereby call to order this meeting of the Legion of Acceptability. We ask that you please stand as the Legion members enter the room. President of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, John Kupal. Founder and publisher of FlashReport.org, John Fleischman. President of Americans for Tax Reform, Grover Norquist. And finally, radio shock jocks and the de facto governors of California, John Cobalt and Ken Shampo. Yay!
Wow.
We are very proud to host the first gathering of the Legion of Acceptability. Thanks to Jerry Brown, that's what we are called.
Boy, if you just tuned in for the first time this week.
Yeah, you might be a little confused.
You're saying, what the hell?
Because Jerry Brown is befuddling, but this is what he told the New York Times reporter, and we decided to convene a meeting of this group.
Yeah, Jerry Brown is frustrated still that he didn't get his massive $55 billion tax increase passed. So he was whining to a reporter, Adam Negrini from the New York Times, saying that there are four entities in California.
He actually said people, but really they're groups of people.
Well, yeah, it's John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, Grover Norquist, Americans for Tax Reform. He's the one who sends out those anti-tax pledges that the Republicans sign. John Fleischman, who has this blog, FlashReport.org, a political blog, and Ken and I. So we're five people representing four entities, and he claims if two of the four oppose something like a tax increase, then the Republicans in Sacramento roll over and play dead. That we control the Republican Party, that anything he needs help from Republicans on, if two out of the four of us say no way, then the idea is dead. We didn't know that there was such a thing as the Legion of Acceptability.
Now, this comes out of the Catholic Church. As you know, Jerry Brown went to the seminary.
Yeah,
he was thinking very long and hard about becoming a priest.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, he ended up a politician. He was talking about the Legion of Decency. The Legion of Decency raided the films, he said, when he was growing up with the Catholic Church. And if you got it condemned, you couldn't go to the movie or it was a moral sin. Well, these four people, referring to the four that John just talked about, form a Legion of Acceptability. If they give you a condemnation, there's no way to get them to vote, referring to the Republicans.
Now, we had all collectively condemned the massive tax extension that Jerry Brown proposed. Therefore, according to him, the Republicans refused to negotiate in any meaningful way. There was no tax extension. Those taxes expired July 1st. He claims thereby increasing the deficit. So let's get the other members on. Why don't we start with John?
Gavel them in.
Let's go one at a time. We'll bring them in so we can identify their voices. John Kupal, president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. John, are you there?
I am here, and I am extended you to you over the wire our secret handshake.
Oh yes.
Are you a proud member of the Legion?
I am a proud member of the Legion of Acceptability.
Now, Absolutely. Were you aware that Jerry Brown made this comment to the New York Times?
Oh yeah, and he has been on a tear of late. And what's very interesting is that he started laying down this charge that there was undue influence over the Republicans, and he gave that speech before two forums, a labor group in Las Vegas and a labor group in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I know.
And
what a phony.
Reporters called me and said, you know, doesn't it strike you as odd or ironic that he is giving this speech, laying down this undue influence charge, while he is addressing the very groups that put him in the governor's office? And obviously it's very ironic.
All right, let's move on to our second Legion of Acceptability participant. From the Americans for Tax Reform, the president, Grover Norquist.
Grover, how are you?
Delighted to be with you.
And, of course, you guys put out the famous anti-tax pledge that many politicians have signed throughout the country.
Absolutely, and almost all the Republicans in the state legislature of California, and, of course, almost all the Republicans in Washington, D.C., have made a commitment not to Americans for Tax Reform, not to me, but to their voters, their constituents, that they will not vote for a tax increase. What Governor Brown's upset about is that the people of California don't want their taxes raised.
And Grover, he singles you out as an extra evil because you're the out-of-state guy. You're the back east guy. And you're right. Nobody has to sign the anti-tax pledge. No one puts a gun to their head.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's always a little bit interesting to me to hear a governor of California sound like George Wallace out of Alabama talking about them, their foreign type people telling us what to do.
All right. Hang on, Grover. Let's get the final member of the Legion of Acceptability, founder of FlashReport.org, a political blog which apparently has a lot of influence, John Fleischman.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
Are you another proud member of the Legion?
I am. I am also doing the secret handshake, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about the real Legion of Acceptability, which John Kupal talked about, which are all the public employee unions that actually are moving public policy in California. We're like the football team. We only have the defense out on the field, but apparently that seems to be enough to upset this governor.
Let me ask, and any of you can jump in, just identify yourself so people can understand whose voice is who. Is there any truth to his claim that if two out of the five of us decide to veto an idea like tax extensions, the Republicans,
that the Republicans roll over without any further discussion?
Yeah, this is John Kupal. I think that's absolutely false because we know that there was a deal to be made if certain things had happened. For example, some of the legislators wanted a hard spending cap, and they would have voted to not to raise the taxes, but to put the issue on the ballot to raise taxes, which was which we didn't like. But there was a path that they could have taken to get a deal, but it wasn't the Republicans who blew it up. It was the unions, because when they found out that there was getting close to a deal, they did the polling on the tax increases, and it was clear that the voters of the state of California were going to do what they've done the last seven times that a statewide tax increase has been on the ballot, and that is rejected resoundingly. So it wasn't really the Republicans that blew the deal, or the Gang of Five, or the Legion of Acceptability. It was really the unions.
John Fleischman, we know what the polling is, and so does Jerry Brown. Why does he keep insisting that there's this fiction of right-wing anti-tax zealots that are holding the state hostage? Because every poll I see shows a majority of Democrats and independents against the tax extensions.
I mean, he continues with the fiction because he has no choice, because they're all spending addicted. I think the reality is the reason the unions never came to a conclusion on a deal was I don't think they wanted to have the taxes on the ballot either, because I think they knew that at the end that the voters would reject the taxes. Their play all along is to try to actually get the taxes passed by the legislature. They don't want it to go to the people. And I should probably add, by the way, with the exception of a few squirrely folks in Sacramento, Jerry Brown is trying to demean Republican legislators by implying that we somehow keep them in line. The vast majority of them held the line because of their conviction and because, they feel strongly about this issue. But I will agree that there are a few, turds in the punch bowl up there, Republicans, who do need to be held accountable. And you know what? They were held accountable. But, Kupal's got a good point. They wanted to cut a deal. It's the unions that didn't want to cut a deal, and they didn't want to kill because the unions know that their taxes would fail at the ballot box.
And Grover Norquist, the question for you is, every time we were facing one of these things like extending the taxes, remember back a few months ago, Jerry Brown wanted to round up enough Republicans, not to get them to vote for a tax increase, but to extend the taxes that were passed a couple of years ago until the voters could vote on them. And then you came out, your organization, with the ruling that if Republicans signed the no tax pledge, they could not vote to extend the taxes. He got really angry with you over that.
Well, look, the advocates of higher taxes come and say, oh, we want to raise taxes just for 1 year because there's an emergency, or 2 years because there's an emergency. It's temporary. Then when the end of the 1 or 2 year term comes up, they go, well, that's the new normal. What are you whining about if we continue them? If they ask for a tax increase and pass it as temporary, to extend it is to raise taxes. That's not really heavy lifting to figure that out.
All right, hang on the line. We're going to have more here with John Kupal, Grover Norquist, John Fleischman, and Ken and I, the five members of the Legion of Acceptability.
As we sit here in the bunker in the dark in our robes and wigs and continue on with our Legion of Acceptability meeting. Jerry Brown named us that. We're proud.
John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, we're stimulating talk radio. John and Ken Show, John Kobel and Ken Champeau. And here we have the first public meeting of the Legion of Acceptability, an honor bestowed on all of us by Jerry Brown. It consists of Ken and I, John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. He's the president. Grover Norquist from the Americans for Tax Reform. He sends out those anti-tax pledges that the Republicans eagerly sign. And then the founder of the FlashReport.org, a political blog, John Fleischman. Jerry Brown was whining to the New York Times saying that if any two of these four entities object to something, then the Republicans roll over and refuse to cooperate, such as the tax extensions earlier this year.
Now, for one thing, and John likes to point this out to talk to all three of you here, we've never met John Kupal or Grover Norquist in person. We've had you guys on the show by phone. John Fleischman, we did meet many years ago, but I got to ask you this, if we can start with John Kupal. I mean, if we have this kind of influence over the Republicans, the thinking would be that you talk to them daily, that you have lunch with them, that you impress them with your points. I mean, how much time, John Kupal, do you spend with the Republicans in Sacramento?
A little bit, but not a lot. You know, we mostly communicate with our members, and our organization has a foundation which finances studies, and we do a lot of litigation. I think of all the things that we do, our litigation capacity, and we sue the state government and local governments to seek compliance with the Prop 13. And but we also do have a lobbying, a full-time lobbying arm, but I'm not the one that's over there in the Capitol. We have a full-time lobbyist over there.
Grover, do any of the Republicans ever call you up and say, release me from the pledge?
Give me a special.
Go ahead. The pledge is not to me. The pledge is to their constituents. And this is one of the things that Jerry Brown, he's kind of fibbing when he talks like this. He knows perfectly well that congressmen and senators in Washington, state legislators in California, the pledge is a commitment in writing to their constituents. Now, Governor Brown, is very comfortable with promises in closed door meeting rooms to labor union bosses and trial lawyers. He understands that. What bothers him are open, written commitments to the voters not to raise taxes. Why? Because that gets in the way of his secret deals with the labor union bosses and the trial lawyers and the spending interests. So he objects to public commitments to voters.
Well, this is John Fleischman. He must object to written commitments because he made a public commitment. Every campaign stop in this last election, he said, I will not support a tax unless it goes to the people. And boy, as soon as June 30th came along, he came out and said, now I need the legislature to go ahead and approve a tax without the vote of the people. So, I mean, the guy's a complete moron.
Grover, did they?
Quite correct.
Grover, do you get calls from Republicans who ask for a ruling on the pledge when it comes to something like the tax extensions, whether or not the pledge applies? Does it get that ridiculous?
No. Look, this is very easy, very clear. People understand perfectly well that the pledge says no tax increases. And if a temporary tax is to lapse, then to continue it is a tax increase.
And John, do you think Republicans...
You got to clarify. There's like three Johns.
Yeah, I know. John Kupal. Do you think there are some Republican legislators, when they're cornered by Jerry Brown, and they'll use our names or your names as cover, saying, hey, look, you know, John and Ken, and it really it's our audience, is gonna flood my office with phone calls. I'm going to get nasty email. I'm just not going through that. Do you think they use us for cover?
You know, that's a possibility. Look, it's no secret that the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association has 30 years of tax policy experience, and we do get contacted by legislators to ask us, for example, in this last round about the single sales factor. That is a very complicated area of corporate tax law, and we did get calls from Republican members asking us what we thought about that, and we told them that we thought there was some promise there, but you can't do that kind of big tax deal in the last day of a legislative session. We wanted more time to spend with it. And I sat down with Jerry Brown and made to him the same arguments and same points that I made to the Republicans. We need time to look at this. So do we have influence among Republicans? Yes, I think we have some influence among some Democrats, too, who want our take on what is good tax policy and what may not be good tax policy.
This question's for anybody, but maybe John Fleischman. Does it sound like Jerry Brown is just crying to the New York Times and, well, I can't get anywhere because these obstructionists keep blocking my path. There's nothing I can do about this legion. It struck me as bizarre. I don't know if you read the whole interview.
Yeah, it's almost as if Jerry Brown didn't bother to look and see what was going on in Sacramento for the entire generation that he decided to stay out of the governor's mansion, because this is not rocket science. This was all going on before he got there. As you guys pointed out on the show, as you point out on the show all of the time, this is not the 1970s, and all these tax rates are through the roof. We're the first on everything, and every kind of tax that you can imagine. Californians pay more than just about anybody else. And so you come to the inescapable conclusion that he's trying to scapegoat his own inadequacy. The reality is he's not able to get public policy through the unions, but he can't blame the unions because they are his bread and butter. So instead, he wants to blame Republicans in the legislature, and, well, they're not very good boogeymen, so instead we have the League. And by the way, I'm very proud to be the only Jewish member of the Catholic League of the
Before we go, because we got to go, but I got to ask all three of you, and John is sitting here, is there anything we want to condemn? Do we want to conspire right now to condemn anything officially that's going on in Sacramento?
If you guys
have a recommendation, we'll take you up on it maybe.
I'll tell you, this is the difference between taxpayers and the political left, and that is we conspire out in the open, which is not much of a conspiracy. but our conspiracy is to advance the interests of taxpayers, and that's what the Republican legislators do, and we're proud of it, and we're aware the California people are.
Well, John Kupal?
Yeah, Grover North.
Yeah, go ahead, Grover.
Go ahead, Grover.
Oh, Grover here. Look, what Jerry Brown is telling the rest of us is that he's very old. He remembers Republicans who, when asked to raise taxes, would go, okay. And what he missed was the Reagan Revolution, the Gingrich Revolution, and Republicans learning painfully that when they were promised spending cuts for tax increases, we got the tax increases and spending cuts never happened. So the modern Republican Party cannot be knocked over with a feather to raise taxes. And when Brown expected that to happen, his judgment was bad because he was remembering Republicans 20 and 30 years ago. He's a very old man.
But we do got to go. We thank all three of them coming on. We may hold another meeting soon. We'll just have to see what comes up.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, John Kupal, Grover Norquist, John Fleischman, John and Ken forming the official Legion of Acceptability. Wow. We now end this particular session. All right, when we come back, we do have an update on the DREAM Act, though, because Jerry Brown made an appearance in L.A. to sign a different bill, but Steve Gregory got a question in. We'll tell you what was said.
John and Ken Show, Terry Ray Elmer has the news. It's the John and Ken Show. John Kobel and Ken Champeau.
All right, well, we just conducted our first meeting of the Legion of Acceptability, so named by Jerry Brown, because apparently we just messed things up for him. He just grumbled to a New York Times reporter. He's only 73, and he thought he was going to be hailed as the wise, conquering hero coming into Sacramento and cleaning up all the fiscal problems. And then he ran into a wall. He couldn't get the Republicans to go along with some of his bad ideas, like extending taxes. So he decided to blame the John and Ken Show, John Fleischman from his blog, John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, and Grover Norquist, the people that put out the anti-tax pledge, Americans for Tax Reform.
You know, it's funny, for five people who supposedly are in control of the Republican Party, I think if you listen closely during the interview, we're all a bit puzzled by Jerry Brown's claim, because most of us don't have much interaction with actual Republican legislators.
We have none.
We have zero.
I think producer Ray talks to them occasionally.
Well, yeah, to get information about a bill or maybe to get one on the air. But as far as, behind the scenes, there is no behind the scenes with these people. We don't talk to them.
Jerry Brown was
it's the audience. It's the taxpayers, the people who vote, who drive the Republicans crazy. Because you promise, not to raise taxes, and then you start doing all these squirrely deals behind our backs, like Mike Vlines did and the rest of them 2 years back. Yeah, you're going to get a response, a bad reaction. But that's from the public.
Jerry Brown wandered into Southern California, you know, allegedly to sign a bill today, which we'll talk about in a moment, and then yesterday meet with the L.A. County Board of Supervisors. But really, I was right. Apparently, he did show up at the Obama fundraiser at the Fig and Olive last night to stick his big bald head in there.
Oh, he was the heckler.
Now, who's further up Obama's rear end? Is it Jeffrey Katzenberg's bald head or
Jeffrey
Brown?
Jeffrey Katzenberg has a home inside Obama's rear end. So, and it's a lavish home, but it's...
Today, he did sign a bill, and this is the National Football League Stadium for downtown L.A. It's a fit of hypocrisy in that he's allowing Anschutz Entertainment, which is behind the building of the stadium, to get around a whole lot of environmental lawsuits, which are sure to come. But the key thing is we sent KFI's Steve Gregory there to ask Jerry Brown, what's going on with that Dream Act? As you heard, the clock, we're down to like 13 days, 12 days, something like that.
12 days. All right. Let's play the clip.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll be down soon to talk about it. Not yet, though.
Thank you, Governor.
Well, before October 9th.
Gentlemen, can we get a group shot, please?
We're going to be down soon to talk about it. He was being escorted away by...
You can hear Tony Villar's skanky full voice in there.
Yeah, greasy Tony there.
Thank you, Governor. Trying to
pull
him away.
Yeah, and so he's claiming he's going to come down and talk about it before October 9th? That's ominous.
The exact quote is, we'll be down soon to talk about it. Not yet, though, but before October 9th. That does sound like he's coming here to sign it, even.
Yeah, so I think, he hasn't signed it yet. So we have to make it clear. This is going to be very ugly. There's going to be a lot of blowback if he gives away our tax money to the illegal alien students.
I don't know. If he makes a big show of it and hugs Cedillo and a big downtown Spanish language media event.
Declaration of war. That's what it's going to be.
It could be
a declaration of war against all of us who pay taxes to give it away to illegal alien students. That's just horrible. Nobody's done that. He'd be the first in the nation to go that far. Look, I was just reading today. Rick Perry is getting all kinds of crap in Iowa, which is the first Republican caucus state. And that caucus is coming up in January. It's not that far away.
This is one of the reasons that they thought Chris Christie might enter the race, that Rick Perry's not doing well in debates and the immigration question is really hampering him.
No, and he's getting crap all over the place. And in this article I read today, it talked about how Perry, they talked about border state politicians. You know, Rick Perry, Schwarzenegger, John McCain, George W. Bush. Because they have a border state with a large Hispanic population, much of it illegal, they have had to address this issue in a different way that people in the rest of the country don't really understand. It's like, no, what they decide.
Which means bend over?
Which means, yeah. But, I mean, I have to take back some of the praise that I had for Rick Perry, because we've been talking about how Texas has been attracting all these jobs at the expense of California to some extent. Then we find out a new study says, well, 80% of the new jobs in Texas are going to immigrants and 40% to illegal immigrants.
Oh, well.
So it looks like that Texas economic miracle doesn't work very well for Americans.
That's who's living there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I cannot believe how, it's hard to believe in this massive job-killing recession, how the illegals keep getting rewarded. You know, and now there's another guy from Texas wants to be president, and he's giving away the store to the illegal aliens. Here, illegal aliens get jobs. Here, illegal aliens get in-state tuition. And now Jerry Brown is, hey, here, illegal aliens, here's grant money. So you don't even have to pay the in-state tuition. We'll pay it for you. How's that? You already got a 65% break. We'll pay the last 35%.
In 12 days or less, we may see what we've been trying to stop happen, the signing of the Dream Act, Part 2, by Jerry Brown, where they grab your tax money for financial aid. Now, today, again, he signed a bill for this NFL stadium in downtown L.A. It was to give the developer Anschutz Entertainment a way around the many environmental lawsuits. Also, a lot of talk has been going on about green jobs. When we come back, we've got a good exchange to play for you.
This is a hoot.
It'll be quite entertaining. And it involves a Southern California woman. She's the labor secretary for Obama, Hilda Solis. She is battling with a congressman from Florida by the name of Connie Mack, a Republican, about the definition of a green job. And we told you with the whole Solyndra debacle that a lot of this is because the Obama administration has been, A, obsessed with stimulus spending, and, B, obsessed with green jobs. And you know where that landed. So we thought you would enjoy this. It's coming up when we return.
On the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau. We're running out of time here. It's Tuesday. And Terry Raelmer is biking for multiple sclerosis on Saturday and Sunday, 165 miles. And we're way short of the goal. We're always blunt and honest here. So we need you to help out the multiple sclerosis victims and for Terry Ray to reclaim her number one status as the biggest fundraiser in Southern California. Because you people like Terry Ray, right?
For the most part.
Yeah. So you go to johnandken.com, go to the picture of Terry Ray riding the bicycle, and there's donation buttons. Just start clicking, and you'll get to the right page. And Terry Ray has a secret acquaintance who's willing to match all your donations 3-1.
Hell of a deal.
This is a big deal. So if you could do that, if all of you could do that now and donate any amount, we'll get to the $60,000 goal easily, since he's willing to match it 3-1. So please, johnandken.com, go to Terry Ray's photo, click
donate
the link.
Donate like Ken did.
Donate like Ken did.
I think that's for you.
all right, I'm going to donate. I always come through.
Jeez. Why don't you do it now? Do it during the next break.
I'm busy. I'm going to get it done, though.
You're not busy.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Sit there and stare at baseball games during the breaks. He's trying to find the baseball games on the internet. I'm signed up for this. Why can't I watch these games?
I thought I could watch more than one at a time. They only let me watch
one. 5 minutes. Now, right. We told you with the collapse of Solyndra, the solar panel manufacturing company out of Fremont, and, of course, probably the loss of $535 million of your federal tax money, there's now been a war on Obama and his administration over this idea of federal stimulus money for phony, non-existent green jobs and or companies like Solyndra, which fold up, which was clear even when they gave out the money. Solyndra was in deep trouble. So what we wanted to play for you was a back and forth between the Labor Secretary for Obama, Hilda Solis, who was a Southern California illegal immigrant
congresswoman.
Illegal immigrant community congresswoman. And she is debating here with Congressman Connie Mack, a Republican from Florida, and they are debating and discussing what the hell are green jobs.
Secretary Solis, in your prepared testimony, you talked about a gentleman named Peter Reyes. Who is Peter Reyes?
Peter Reyes is Congressman Peter Reyes is an individual that I met when I was touring a transportation facility up in San Jose. He was a worker there, was telling me about his experience. He worked in the banking industry, lost his job after many years, and was trying to get into a new job. So he was picked up by our training programs that we offer in the state of California in San Jose and became a part of the production there and actually was now a driver for one of their hybrid buses. He's making money. At work.
All right. Did the U.S. taxpayers pay for that training, for his training?
In part, yes. Yes, we did.
But here's the real question. What makes driving a hybrid bus a green job and driving another bus that's not a hybrid bus, not a green job? I mean, bear with me here for a minute. Driving a bus is driving a bus, right? I mean, you turn the wheel, you push the gas, you use the brake.
If you go back to...
You use your blinkers.
Pardon me, but if you go back to the argument that's being made of how you substantiate the green industry, the vehicles that were built there are hybrid vehicles. They're fuel efficient. They're built in Oakland, California.
Yeah, but this is the bus. But
this
is the bus driver.
By individuals.
But this is a bus driver. So the question. So here's the problem that I think people are having, that I'm having. How can you call this a green job? I mean, so if you sit in a chair, if I'm sitting in a chair that was made out of green material, does that make my job green?
He's in an
industry. He is driving a bus, and to count it as a green job You know, we've heard on the committee from both sides, we want to be able to make some determinations here, but before we can make those determinations, we have to get at whether or not the information that you're giving us is accurate. And I don't
it
think any
accurate.
No, driving a bus just because it's hybrid doesn't make it a green job.
Mr. Congressman, would you rather have that person unemployed?
No, I'd rather
the
them
work.
The taxpayers
would have
but
to pay
I would
for
rather,
that.
I would rather you. I would rather you not try to smooth this thing over and make it a green job when it's a job.
It's
of course we want jobs.
Green.
But we don't want you to pull the wool over the eyes of the American people and tell them it's a green job when it's a job. And that is the problem
the
here. So the administration wants to spend all of this money creating green jobs, but yet you'll count things that is a job.
The industry itself, where he is employed, he is fuel efficient. They're using new
technology. Is his job green?
And the training
is his
he
job
received?
Green?
Yes, it is.
Driving a hybrid bus.
Because
so somebody who drives a bus that's not a hybrid, is that a green job?
I would ask you to
answer my question.
That BLS
if someone
us.
Drives a bus that is not hybrid, is that a green job?
Transportation
you can't answer it. It's only a green job if it fits into your sales pitch.
And there you go, Congressman Connie Mack from Florida and Hilda Solis, the former Southern California Congressman, now Labor Secretary.
I kept thinking of Ralph Cramden. Is that a green job?
That's right, Ralph Cramden, the original.
You can certainly make an argument that if you built the hybrid bus, that might have been a green job, but driving the hybrid bus, that's a stretch. And he got trained. He was banking.
He was trained
to drive a bus. I know. I like the way she said, in part with federal tax money.
Yeah, there you go. That's your stimulus funds right there. There's your stimulus money. So Ralph Cramden can be a green employee.
But I like that. That Congressman Mack, he wasn't letting up.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in a green chair. Well, this is what happens.
It's just stupid.
When you want to win the war of disinformation, you exaggerate and lie about stuff to tell people everything is a green job.
It's propaganda.
Remember they told us, John, that the people they were going to train to come to your house and make suggestions about how to make your house more energy efficient, they would be green job
people.
They'd
be green jobs. That's how they try to inflate the number of employees in the green economy, and that's what they do to justify all this stimulus spending on green jobs. It's phony nonsense.
All right. We got Channel 5. We'll be talking to Channel 5 entirely about, of course, and I'm watching Conrad Murray wipe away the tears right now, the opening statements in the Dr. Conrad Murray trial and the first witnesses when we talk to Mike Ullman next hour.
On the John and Ken Show, Terry Raylor has the news. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Don't worry.